On Sunday, the Milwaukee-based Fine Arts Quartet will play its first concert of the 2014-2015 season. The concert is unique for the quartet because it features a single piece of music, an arrangement of Haydn's The Last Seven Words of Christ. The work is in nine movements and features a guest soprano along with the quartet, which includes its newest member, violist Juan Miguel Hernandez. The next most recent member, cellist Robert Cohen, and longest-serving member, violinist Ralph Evans, joined Lake Effect's Bonnie North in the studio and talked about the challenge of choosing the right person to bring into the group.
To choose somebody to go into a quartet is an extraordinarily difficult thing because there's four people married, really, spending more time together than they do with their own wives or husbands. And, you know, to have somebody join that group is emotionally very difficult, and it's also a very precise position to be in because you have to have something about your playing which complements everybody else. It has to be fundamentally have the same kind of thrust, the same idea, the same feelings, so that, you know, they can really fit in. And finding somebody is incredibly difficult. You're literally scouring the world, listening to everybody and talking to people and getting to know people. And we're very lucky that we found somebody.
Well, and you just went through this.
Well,
yourself.
They went through that.
They went through it with you. Yeah. So, Ralph, for you, because you are the longest, both of you 32 years, is that right?
Well, I actually came first.
Okay.
I must admit, but he was shortly after.
Shortly. Yeah. So, close enough.
Right, close enough.
So, your 30-year musical marriage has had a long time to mature, but then you had to absorb Robert, you know, and figure that out.
Right.
And now Juan Miguel, musically for you, is it exciting to bring in new blood that way?
I don't know if I would use the word exciting. Challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And
thanks.
No, it is also exciting because variety always makes life interesting, and it creates new possibilities and new challenges. But people often ask me, since I've been in the quartet so long, how do you deal with having a new person, and does that upset the musical performances? Does that upset everything, basically? And I think the best answer for this is that quality is the key. When you bring in someone of high quality, it goes fast. You need that talent, that ability, and that experience. And when you bring in someone great, you can create a marvelous new ensemble. For those who are basketball fans, I'll just pick a name. Let's say a LeBron James, probably a household name for sports lovers. These sports figures are often changing teams. If he were to suddenly come on to a new basketball team, I don't think anyone would worry about how he would fit in. Basically, he's so good that people make their adjustments and the team will do just fine in most cases. And the Fine Arts Quartet, because it's had such a long and mostly successful career, if I may say that, it's quite well known in the chamber music world. We have a reputation of quality, and therefore we get top candidates from all over the world. Take Robert, for example. We were so fortunate to get him. I mean, he's one of the world's best cellists as a soloist, and for us, it's a blessing to have someone like that who could join us in a chamber music milieu. And it's really not any problem. It's, of course, there's some adjustments always with any new people, but when you have someone of such high quality, it goes fast.
But if I may add to that, you know, coming from the other side, joining the quartet, this is not just a job. It's not just joining a quartet, you know, a world-class quartet, brilliant players. Here I am being a very good player wanting to join this quartet. It's not like that at all, because there are 1,000, maybe 10,000 string quartets in the world. There are many that are very high level. Most of them for me would have been, well, almost all of them except the Fine Arts Quartet would have been of no interest to join at all. And that's because what the Fine Arts Quartet brings and has in their players is a message in the music, an emotion, a strength of communication that is unique. It brings such warmth and beauty and really strong sense of love and beauty to everything that they play, that was hugely attractive for me to join them because that's what they did. I mean, I listen to other string quartets and there are brilliant quartets around, but I can walk away from those concerts and think, well, that was highly professional. It was really, really good. And then I can never remember it again. Whereas when I first heard the Fine Arts Quartet, I'll never forget that performance. And I don't ever forget their performances because what comes from them is coming from very, very deep inside. And that's what counts in their performances. So as I feel that powerfully about music myself, when the quartet asked me to join them, I felt that that was right. It was the right connection between us, the same sense of what are we doing.
And why.
And why.
Yeah.
And I see that, you know, with Miguel joining the quartet, it's the same thing. Of course, there's going to be, as Ralph says, there's going to be adjustments. You know, I'm still making adjustments 3 years in, and they're still making adjustments to me, I'm sure. But, you know, he has a powerful sense of music making, which is very similar. And I think that makes him the right person. And I think that makes him also want to be a part of the quartet.
We'll talk about this concert on Sunday because this Haydn piece is monumental and incredibly beautiful. And I did a little research before he came in and I realized that he himself actually made this quartet arrangement, right?
Yeah.
It was originally fully orchestral with the soprano and then he himself.
That's right.
Right. I don't know if you would really call it it's an arrangement in the sense that it's for different instrumentation, but that's quite common for composers to do something like that because they want their music to be performed. Even back in the 18th century, there was no difference. They were eager to get well known for their works. And we played recently a piece by Saint-Saëns that was written for a rather unusual combination, a gorgeous piece. And he realized that harmonium was one of the instruments, but how often do chamber groups have a harmonium at their fingertips? So he arranged it for a different combination so it would get played. So Haydn was no different. He created that quartet version so that there would be the possibility of more performances. And ultimately, the orchestra version went out of print. I don't know if today that's true, but years ago, you couldn't even get the music for the orchestra version. But the string quartet version was played often enough so that it was still available. And that's the version most people know today.
What are some of the challenges in this piece for a quartet?
Well, I mean, of course, we're doing an arrangement, so to speak, because the way this piece is constructed was originally around the seven last words of Christ. And the idea was that in the ceremony that there would be words spoken and then Haydn was commissioned to write music that would go into the silences between these words. Then from the quartet version, people started to add some script, some narration, words to go between the movements. And then what we're doing is a composer's vision of that, bringing those words into song. So we have Ruth Rosik from Spain coming to sing those lines and also with the quartet. So it's evolved into a newer kind of piece, in a sense, just more reflective of the original idea. And so the challenges are always connecting voice and strings. That's one thing. And then, of course, because it's a religious piece of music, the challenge is well, perhaps challenge is the wrong word, but the real sense that you are in a church of music, a church of something, where the performance spans actually it's a long piece of music, it's over an hour, continuously, and it's of such very profound depth, and a lot of the music is very calm, and occasionally not so calm. It's interrupted by things, but it's unusual. If you are listening to a Beethoven string quartet, it's constantly changing from one thing to another.
Or even a Haydn string quartet.
Or a Haydn.
Yeah.
Whereas this has longer spans of a kind of senses of a kind of religious occasion. And I think it casts a really different atmosphere, a unique atmosphere on the audience and the whole sense of the occasion. And that's why we decided that it stands alone. It reminds me of Messiaen wrote a quartet for the end of time, which was written in the concentration camp. And it's that kind of sense that here's a huge piece of music that just has to stand on its own. And it can really blow you away.
If I could respond also to that question about the challenges, it consists of 9 movements, 8 of which are slow. That was one of the requirements of the canon or priest who commissioned the work back in 1785. And even Haydn, the great master, was very upset about this in the sense that he was worried that he couldn't pull it off. I just want to quote one sentence from what Haydn wrote about that. He said, "My composition was subject to these conditions, and it was no easy task to compose 7 adagios lasting 10 minutes each and to succeed one another without fatiguing the listeners. Indeed, I found it quite impossible to confine myself to the appointed limits." Actually, the performers have the same problem. How do you create enough variety in those 7 movements to make it interesting for the public? These movements are all masterpieces. Each one is so gorgeous that it's not really such a big problem. But that is one of the challenges of the work because of the restrictions placed on the composer when he originally wrote it. Now, do you have time for me just to tell you briefly about the history of how and why we're doing this
Sure,
piece?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. It's kind of interesting, actually, because we were invited to perform at the Royal Palace in Madrid, and we've performed there twice. And what made it exceptional, aside from the fact that we were performing for the king and queen, there's a Royal Stradivarius collection, a Royal Stradivarius Quartet collection that Stradivarius gave as a gift around 1700. And those instruments, of course, are under lock and key and are rarely played, but they let these instruments out for us to perform in these concerts. And the director of the series at the Royal Palace was a composer, and after the last concert, he took us out to dinner, and we were sitting around the table, and I was making conversation with him, and he's a well-known composer in Spain, having studied with Darius Milhaud and Karl Orff, and I said, "Surely you've written some quartets." And he said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I have, but you know, the piece I'm most proud of is the arrangement I made of Haydn's 7 last words." And I said, "Oh?" So the way that, as Robert mentioned, the way that these pieces, this work is normally played is you have a quartet and narrator. So the narrator recites in Latin text, the quartet plays a slow movement. The narrator continues, the quartet plays another slow movement, and so on. He had decided that it might be more interesting, instead of having a narrator, to have a soprano sing the text along with the quartet, instead of having these interludes of narration. It's actually a brilliant idea of his. And so he made this arrangement so there's no narrator, there's no talking, no reciting. It's just all music. And it's very faithful to Haydn, actually. It's not so huge, the differences, but it's just an instrumental changing of the instrumentation along the way. And there was a performance of this for the Pope. And so he said, you know, it would really be great if the Fine Arts Quartet would perform this piece. So I kept this in the back of my mind for a year or two. This was many years ago, and it just never worked out with our scheduling and our concert series, and I kind of forgot about it, to tell you the truth. But then this past summer, we performed with a fantastic Spanish soprano, Ruth Rozic, and suddenly the idea came back, what if we were to do this piece in Milwaukee? It's really a piece that should be done Easter time, to tell you the truth, but the schedule didn't cooperate. And so we all discussed the idea of if we could put on this performance in Milwaukee in September on our first concert of the year. And by luck, it all worked out. All the pieces of the puzzle worked out. And that's why we are giving this performance, which is the premier performance of this arrangement by Jose Paris in Milwaukee. So yeah. I think it's quite exciting, and I'm really looking forward to it.
And something a little different.
And mm-hmm. It's definitely off the beaten track.
Yeah.
And the composer, who's just had his 90th birthday, is ecstatic. He wrote us a letter. He's so happy that he said, "What a birthday present."
Are you going to be able to record it and send him a copy?
Yes. We just went through these arrangements.
Good.
At the last minute, actually. Yeah. But yes.
Terrific. Well, I want to thank you both for coming in and taking time today. I really appreciate it. Best of luck starting off this season, and I look forward to having you back in the studio maybe in the spring. We'll talk some more and maybe even play a little bit.
With pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Violinist Ralph Evans and cellist Robert Cohen of the Milwaukee-based Fine Arts Quartet spoke with Bonnie North ahead of their season opening concert this weekend. Haydn's Seven Last Words of Christ will be performed Sunday afternoon at 3 at the Zelazo Center for the Arts on the UW-Milwaukee campus. And with that, another week's worth of Lake Effects is in the book. We are produced by Dan Harmon, Bonnie North, and yours truly, with production assistance from Eleanor Peterson and Audrey Nowakowski, web assistance from Michelle Menernowski, and studio engineering from John Strelecki. I'm Mitch Tyke. It's great to have you listening. Have a great weekend, and I hope we'll be a part of it. Lake Effect Weekend is Saturday and Sunday afternoon at 3 on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh Air is next. It's 11 o'clock.